But no, most if not all of the boys who came through his school lacked any real moral fiber, and each class was worse than the last. They were slack, lazy, and degenerate. All his words of wisdom were no more to them than pearls before swine. Perhaps in his twilight years he should consider putting them down in a book. There might yet be someone in the world who could appreciate such razor-sharp foresight. He should have gone to London, he told himself, far better than flogging his life away here in far-off Cornwall. He could have been a headmaster at Eton or Rugby by now. Had he taken the easy way through life? Positions were always open, but hard won. He had talent. He should have tested it against the best and brightest England had to offer. He could even have taught in Europe at a university, Heidelberg or Berlin. Yes, perhaps he had allowed himself to take an easy route, running a choice boys' school on the West Coast for 40 years. Once he'd been the youngest headmaster he knew. Now he was the oldest. There was a knock at the door. "Come in," he called. The door opened and a dried old trout of a fellow entered. "What is it, Walpole?"
"The tomato, sir," the bursar said. "From the grocer. They were bad. The entire bushel. The cook will have to change the menu.
So let him get on with it," Throgmorton sputtered.
"We'll have to announce the change.
Who in bloody hell cares if we do or do not have grilled tomatoes with our supper?" The old fellow visibly kept from heaving a sigh. Even the bursars were not a patch on the ones that had come before.
"I'll inform everyone you'd prefer not to do so, sir," the man answered.
"Do it," Throckmorton growled. "I've got more important things to do with my time, thank you."
"Very well," Walpole said, backing toward the door. "I'll see that everyone is told."
When he was gone, the headmaster sat down in his chair and poured himself a second glass. Chaos. Everything was falling into chaos everywhere. Standards were no longer being met, and so they lowered the standards, rather than getting at the root of the problem, which was lazy boys. Boys needed to be disciplined hard and often if they were to make anything of themselves, and only 1 in 100 had natural discipline. It requires a man with the knowledge of how much punishment a boy's body could take in order to break their spirits and make them ready for instruction. Once they received it, there was no end to how high they could soar. There was a sound outside, which came to Harold Throgmorton's attention through a half-open window, raised due to the heat of the day. He crossed to the window, threw up the sash, and looked out upon the knoll the school used for recess after lunch. As usual, the students were skylarking, getting into trouble when there was a perfectly good cricket game in progress toward the back of the green. Throgmorton had the pitch put in himself, to combat indolence. The headmaster's attention focused on two boys nearby, who were engaged in a wrestling match while still standing, one with an arm tight around the other's neck. The aggressor was Toller, a bully if there ever was one. He'd warmed the headmaster's paddle many times. The boy he was picking on was a spindly specimen by the name of Wilkins, thin as a rail and bespectacled.
"Toller!" he bellowed. "What do you think you're about? Leave off tormenting Wilkins before I haul you in here and give you stripes like a tiger."
Everyone stopped and stared. Toller in particular. He pulled his arm from around the smaller boy's neck and attempted to look innocent, while Wilkins lay in the grass, coughing.
"You think that's funny, do you, Toller? Perhaps we need to call your father in for a conference about your attitude."
The boy's eyes went large. If there was a bigger bully in England than Toller Jr., it was Toller Sr. He ran a manufacturing business with an iron thumb and would not appreciate having to come to the school during office hours to deal with an unruly son. Once Junior came in with a blackened eye after being sent